You know, I'm so excited this morning to be here. I'm really honored to be able to speak, you know, because sometimes when I'm preparing to speak, it blows my mind that an entire auditorium of people will be just sitting there watching me. And, you know, it's a little bit of pressure, but it's actually not so much the pressure. It's such an honor to be able to bring the word. And I thank you. I thank you, Pastor Richard, for trusting me with this. And so I've got the mic, so I'm going to put your seatbelts on. And who's ready for the word this morning? Amen? Amen. Okay. Well, the last maybe month or so, excluding our week of prayer and fasting, we've been in a very, very amazing series called Dangerous Prayers. Everybody say dangerous. Dangerous. Say it with a dangerous voice. Dangerous. I love how Pastor Richard's mind works when we get together and we plan the sermon series for the year. He's the one that usually comes up with the catchy titles. And when I first heard this, I was like, whoa, you know, it sounds like a movie, like Mission Impossible 1, 2, and 3, you know. And so the first week, Pastor Richard brought Dangerous Prayer number one, which was Search Me. You know, if you've ever been in, had the privilege of being searched, patted down at the airport as you come through, then you will know that it's actually a very vulnerable position. You know, when you ask God to search me, it's a dangerous prayer because He will. He'll search you high and low, in and out, and He'll find things. Amen? So that was the first one. And then the next sermon that was preached by Pastor Chrissy was Break Me. Who remembers that sermon? I came in whole and I went out broken. Thank you, Pastor Chrissy. You know, it takes a real big person to be willing to be broken by God. You know, it's not good to be broken by the world, but it's good when you're broken by God. Amen? And because when we're broken, He can then shape us, because He's the master craftsperson, right? He is the potter and we are the clay. So if we're not broken, He can't mold us. And so today I've got the privilege of doing installment number three, which is Lead Me. And then Pastor Richard will land the plane by doing Send Me. Okay, he'll put a postage stamp on every single forehead and he'll send you out. Amen? So let me just start by reading our text for the day. And if you've got your Bibles, if you've got your devices, why don't you turn or swipe with me to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25 to 30. It's always good to have your own pages or devices. Otherwise, you can look up at the screen. And here we go. Let me read this. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding, and you have revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so glad to be home again in this house, this spiritual family where we call home. Lord, we thank you for the time of worship we just had, where we rejoiced with the angels and declared that with our hearts open wide, we're ready to receive you. We're ready to hear from you. Teach us, lead us, show us this morning your power. In Jesus' mighty name we all say, amen. Who's ever attended a church camp or a school camp or a sports camp or any kind of camp? The rest of you just stay at home. So So if you've ever been to a camp, you'd be familiar with those games that they play outdoors. Who knows about the three-legged race? All right? So you've got two legs, and then the next person has two legs. And then how do you get three legs? You tie the legs together. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not very good at three-legged races because whenever it goes 3-2-1 go, I go. Right? I'm not there waiting for someone else to come with me. You know? I'm like, and I tell you, most times when I go for a three-legged race, there'll be like skin coming off my ankles. You know what I'm saying? Who bears witness to that? You know, you're just running because and sometimes you're like not in time, and sometimes like someone's dragging you along, and then sometimes you're dragging someone else along. Yeah? A three-legged race is very, very rare, and it takes a lot of practice to be able to be running in sync. You understand what I'm saying? Now, if you're a parent here, how many parents here in the house? Oh, wow, quite a few parents. How many of you remember what it's like to parent a three-year-old? There's a few people just kind of getting these shakes. I remember very clearly. Our two sons, they're 8 and 7 years old. Now, when you're trying to parent a three-year-old, or maybe a two-year-old, a kid that can walk, or put it this way, a kid that can run. Now, you're trying to, when you're walking along in the mall or by the side of the road, you extend your hand, and does the toddler give you their hand willingly? No. Generally, you'll have to be holding on real tight and dragging them along, right? Otherwise, you see them running across the road, running underneath the clothes racks and farmers, you see. Now, holding on to the hand of a toddler is probably one of the hardest things ever. And you know that you've succeeded if you hold out your hand like that and a toddler puts his or her hand willingly into your hand and goes, "My father, lead me." You know, with a British accent, "My father, lead me." So, today's dangerous prayer is, "Lead me." Is following God sometimes like a three-legged race? Or maybe like us, being a toddler, trying to follow a parent? Pastor Richard's sermon a couple of weeks ago called "Search Me" reviewed Psalm chapter 139. I love that chapter. And I love how it demonstrated King David, who wrote that psalm, his real raw and vulnerable relationship with his Father God. Now, statements like this, "He searched me and he knew me. Even before a word is on my tongue, you knew it. For you formed my inward being, and you knitted me together in my mother's womb. My frame was not hidden from you." Such vulnerability. Imagine David writing this song, this psalm, and actually singing it. You know, if you read in your Bibles, at the very start of 139, it says, "From David to the choir director." It's like, you know, guys, sing this song of vulnerability to your king. And then it goes on. As a result of that vulnerability, he sees these things. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." That's a dangerous thing to say to God. It's a posture of humility, starting from a relationship, a raw and real relationship, brings humility. And then we see a willingness to repent. "See if there's any grievous way within me." You know, David was saying to God, "Is there anything wrong in my heart? Is there any sin in me that needs to be corrected?" He's saying to his Father God, "I'm asking you to search me. See if there's any grievous way within me." And then lastly, there's a readiness to follow. It says, "Lead me in the way everlasting." What an amazing prayer, Psalm chapter 139. Is this something that you and I would be willing to pray? You know, a lot of us say we want to hear God. What is God's will for my life? What should I do? What ministry shall I serve in? What course shall I study? Do you realize what you are asking? Because this God that created you, He knows. If ever you were to want to find out what your purpose is in life, He would be the one to ask. But are we ready to listen? Are we willing to put our hand in the hand of the Father and say, Father, lead me? So today's text, Matthew chapter 11 here, it was written in the context of a religious community. Now, back in Jesus' day, we have to remember that for thousands of years, the Israelites, the Jewish people, were waiting for a Savior, right? So imagine if you're a Jewish person living in those days, and you've got all these people that are your masters, and you're sort of thinking, when is Superman going to come and just destroy the enemy, and then we can walk victoriously down the road and parade and go, wow, this is victory. When? And then this carpenter, you know, this everyday person, he's not poor. I mean, carpenter is not a beggar, but everyday person, in today's term, it might be an accountant or, you know, engineer. He comes and he claims that he's God. He claims that he is the Messiah. He doesn't have the big armor and riding on a white horse. So this religious community that has been doing things a certain way for thousands of years, and suddenly Jesus shows up and says, follow me. Suddenly this guy that wears just average Roman sandals and he's not wearing royal robes. So even John the Baptist, if you read Matthew chapter 11 at the very start, John the Baptist was put in prison. And he sent his followers. He heard about Jesus doing all these miracles. And then he sent his followers to say, can you go to Jesus, my cousin, my first cousin, not fourth cousin, my first cousin, Jesus, and ask him, are you the one that is to come? Are you the one that is to come? This is John the Baptist, the one that they say, he's like the one calling out in the desert, making the way for Jesus. That was his role. But yet, at some point, he had doubts in his heart. Is this Jesus actually our Messiah? So that's the context of which our text was written. You know, the thing was that the thing that says, come to me, all you are burdened and heavy laden, was written in the context of the coming to faith. Jesus was inviting the community to come to him. But you know what? It's not just an initial coming to Jesus that matters. How many of us know that discipleship is a lifelong journey in following Jesus? The reason why it's not saying a confession of a prayer to convert, that discipleship means following Jesus, means that it's an ongoing journey. Amen? And so today's passage, as we read, it says, Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. It starts with the condition of our heart. It starts with the condition of our heart. And the first thing in terms of the condition of our heart is innocence. Because Matthew chapter 11, verse 25 says this, at that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed it to little children. Can you imagine Jesus saying publicly, I thank you that you've hidden it from the wise? And if you were a religious leader at the time listening to Jesus, you'd be thinking, oh, so you're saying that I'm not never going to get it. You're saying that this is not for me. You're saying that even little children that doesn't know anything, they're going to get it? I've spent my life learning the Torah. I've spent my life learning about the Jewish traditions. I have practiced everything to perfection. I'm first class honors from theological college. You're saying that this is not for me. Yes. Yes. It's not for you. Condition of the heart of innocence. And the thing is that it's not that it's too difficult to understand or too easy to understand. It says that God has chosen to hide it. Why would God choose to hide something? Let me ask you again, why would God choose to hide the good news, the gospel of salvation? Why? Because the thing is that even if he doesn't hide it from us, with a position of arrogance, a position of, I've got it under control, I want to go this way, Lord. Tied together. I want to run faster. I want to go that direction. With that condition of the heart, how would that three-legged race go? How would trying to lead a toddler go when the toddler is unwilling to follow? See, the first thing is innocence, that we need to come before him and say, you know what, Lord, I don't know, but I'm willing. I am willing to follow. The second thing about that is humility. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You see, Jesus doesn't say, you wait there and I'll come to you. Other parts of the Bible, it says, yeah, I stand at the door and knock. But this passage says, come to me. Do you think that Jesus couldn't walk or Jesus, it's got nothing to do with physically moving. It's got to do with the condition of our heart. Because when someone says, in faith says, come to me, Weong, I have to go to him. But what is happening? I'm leaving something. I don't think you get me. When I go to someone, I'm leaving something to go. And when you're leaving something that's comfortable, your fluffy, soft toy, your little blanket that covers you, that smells of you, and you've had it since you're 5 years old and you're 34. The job that gives you security, the country of your birth, the thing that you're so familiar with that you can just do with your eyes closed. What is your comfort blanket? What is your comfort blanket? I love what someone says. I think Infei loves to say this. Something begins at the end of your comfort zone. You know, at the end of your comfort zone. Leave. Come to me. And then it says, all you, what does all mean? If you do hermeneutics and you exegete the scripture and you go in Greek and maybe Aramaic and Hebrew, what does all mean? All. Come to you all who are weary and heavy laden. Who's ever felt weary and burdened? You know, the rest of you are superhuman beings. Or maybe you've just broken a commandment. He says, all, like Jesus is saying, I love how honest Jesus is. He says in another passage in the gospel, it says, in this world, you will have trouble. That word will shows up many times. He said, I will give you rest. But before you need rest, you need trouble. Hey, oh, Jesus, give me rest. Come on, Jesus, where are you? Give me rest. Oh, be careful what you're asking for, because you need some trouble. You know, if you're not thirsty, this is just be like, I don't need water. I've just had a buffet. I don't need food. But when you've had trouble and you're weary, that rest is sweet. And I love how he says, I will. He's guaranteeing you. There is no question about it. It doesn't say, if you do this, then our position is we come. That's our part. We come. We leave the past behind. We leave our comfort behind, and we go to Jesus. And he will give you rest. 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 Amen? Whoa. This is not television. I can see you. You guys following me? So the condition of our heart, the first thing is we come as little children, innocent. Second thing is humility. We choose to leave humbly. Not saying, Jesus, you come to me, I'll come to you. And then the second part of this prayer, this dangerous prayer called lead me, is that it requires a decision of our flesh. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29 says this, take my yoke upon you. Now, the yoke, I used to think that yoke is some kind of like burden and some kind of like big bag or something, you know. But it, for those of you that don't know, and I didn't know this some years ago until I found out, a yoke is actually where, you've got a picture, yeah. So that wooden thing that ties the two oxen together, that's called a yoke. And that yoke is actually tied to a cart and you pull it together. So in the three-legged race, it's like that thing that binds you together. Now, why does it require a decision of the will? I don't know if you've ever been tied up with someone else. It's quite a vulnerable position. And you need to choose to be bound, otherwise you're a prisoner. You know what I'm saying? So take my yoke upon you. Jesus didn't say, come here, I'm going to tie you up. He says, he invites us. He says, come to me and then take my yoke upon you. It's your decision. Are you going to lock in with me? It takes a great degree of trust because who you're yoked with. You see, this text is used in all kinds of contexts. You know, do not be unequally yoked is another passage of the scripture. Similar type of example. When you yoke together with someone, you're bound tightly together. You traverse the earth together. You go through experiences together. There's no like, let's just take that off for a second and we'll come back and revisit that. When you're yoked together, you're locked in. Who knows what I'm talking about? When you get married, you're yoked together. It's a joyful thing. Or it could be punishment for the rest of your life. You know, young people, be careful who you marry. When you're yoked together, it takes a great degree of trust. We need to be willing to submit. And it only goes well when you're yoked together or you're tied together in a three-legged race that you cooperate with each other, right? So if I'm yoked with Infe and we're tied together, and we're like, we got this, we're going to win this. What's the best thing to do? We need to agree on some basic principles. How quick we're going to run. Who's going to take the lead? Because we can't both lead. Because otherwise we'll both fall flat on our faces. So when you're yoked with Jesus, God himself, the Son of God, the one that was there from the very beginning, who do you think we should say, lead me? We should say it to Jesus. Because if we try to do it our own way, it's not going to work out well. We're going to trip up. We're going to find ourselves on our faces. We're going to hurt ourselves. And Jesus isn't going to hurt himself because he's God. But the person that will be in pain is you. It's me. So let's trust God and be yoked with him. You know, it's like saying to God, here's a check, $100,000, right? Who likes that? Who likes the sound of that? $100,000, sign here. Cool way, that's a lot of money. But you see, God is saying, give me a blank check. I'll fill it in for you. $2 million. You know, sometimes we go to God with things like, God, I need that job. I want that person to be my spouse. I want to live in this place. I want to go to that direction. I want to do things this way. I will serve in that ministry. I will do this, because that's not me, and this is not me, but that's me. $2 million. But sorry, you've filled it up already, so I'll just sign $100,000. Here you go. You see, when we ask God to lead us, a lot of times we come with, I do that. God has led me to places where I've never even imagined I would be. Many years ago, God gave me a huge promotion that almost doubled my pay in one job, but I didn't ask for it. Why would God do those types of things for us and to us? And in the meantime, we are weary and heavy laden. It's like, when's that job gonna come? When's Mr. Wright, Mrs. Wright gonna come? When's that residency gonna come? I know there's many in this auditorium that struggle, and it's a real struggle. But you know, God is saying, give me the blank check. Give me the blank check. It's a decision of our flesh. And lastly, it says, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest. Okay. When you're yoked with Jesus, he's saying, now don't try to do your own thing now. Learn from me. And Infe, would you jump on up for a sec? Let's give this mighty Samoan stallion a big hand. So Infe, if you just stay there for a second, and I'll say, Infe, follow me. Why don't you keep coming? I'm waiting for you. You see? So is that follow? Is he following me? Yes. Okay, come follow me. Is he following me? Is he following me?
Yes.
Who's taking the lead? I am. You see, when we're yoked together, someone's got to take the lead. And you know, Jesus is one that walks with us. He doesn't just sit in his high chair and in his throne room in palace and say, hey, like remote control. You know, this is, oh, go left, go right. He's saying, you wait there, I'll come down to earth. I'll show you and I'll walk with you. Come to me. Thank you. Let's give him a hand. So following Jesus and learning from him is like that. We're yoked with him and he's saying, relax. Shake it off. Relax. Learn from me. And he didn't just say that at learn from me. He says, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. I am humble in heart. Why does he have to say that? Why does Jesus have to say that he's humble? Why does he have to say that he is gentle? Because he is. He's not going to force you to do something you wouldn't want to do. He's not going to force you beyond your will. Sometimes we put ourselves in situations where God's like, don't go there, don't know. Oh. Are we willing to learn from him? You see, Jesus is not here to remind us of our pain and our sin. Yes, he speaks the truth that we need to repent. But once we've repented and we're yoked with him, then he goes, let's go. He's not going to go, hey, Infe, remember that thing that you just did again? Man, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And when we are walking with Jesus, you know, sometimes when you go to the beach and you're climbing these rocks, right? Someone would be a bit more experienced and they'll test the thing and go, oh, okay, that's firm, and I'll go like that, and I'll go like that. Then the person behind you would follow because that person's just walked there and he hasn't fallen, right? So you just follow. Or will you do your own thing? Like, oh, I've got this, I'll go that way. And then suddenly you just slip down the mountain and you go, I should have followed. I should have followed. You know, the ability to learn from Christ comes from relationship. comes from time. In His Word and in His presence. You don't just come to church on Sunday once every week and then suddenly find you have a relationship with Jesus. A relationship with Jesus is all the other hours that you spend outside of this auditorium. Who knows what I'm talking about? That's when you follow Jesus. If you're coming here expecting to do your religious duty for the week and that you're going to have a relationship with Jesus, yoked with Him, I'm sorry to break it to you, my friends, that there won't be any victory in your life in following Jesus. That is not discipleship. Discipleship is 24/7. It's following Jesus. It's following Jesus with some other friends. It's saying, come this way. As I follow Jesus, please follow me. You see, learning from Jesus requires us to pay attention. I have very short attention span. You know what I'm saying? It's like, ooh, my pocket's vibrating. Ooh, I hear a buzz. Ooh, I hear a noise. I don't know about everyone in this auditorium, but I think community today, technology today, has caused us all to have some form of attention deficit disorder. And that's real for me, because I can't focus for very long. But that's the problem sometimes. I've asked God to speak to me and I can't hear Him. Well, yes, you can't hear Him. It's not, doesn't mean He's not speaking. He says, lead me. Yeah, He's like, come. And you're just like, Jesus says again, come. And you're like, you know, I'm like that. You know, we're all like that. But you see, when we need, we would pray that prayer and say, Jesus, would you lead me? We need to pay attention. We need to be listening. We need to be watching. We need to be asking questions. And you know, sometimes we're going to hear some things we don't like. God might say, you need to do this. Oh, no, I can't. You need to sell your motorbike because it's become an idol. Oh, maybe just let me hold on to it for another year. Oh, maybe you need to serve in church. Oh, I'm too busy because of my season in life. Oh, you need to sign up to go to next conference. Did I say you need to sign up to go to next conference? Or maybe I just did say you need to go to next conference. No, because, you know, conferences happen all the time. I don't need to go. There'll be times when we say, Lord, lead me, and we hear things and we go, I don't like the sound of that. But Jesus is like, well, when you're ready, I'm here. Come. Oh, you're still not ready? Well, okay, I'll just wait. Will we pray that prayer? That very dangerous prayer? Because the outcome of that, Matthew chapter 11, verse 30, says this, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When we're not resisting Him, when we're not insisting on our own way, that is when Jesus carries the load for you. That is when He is carrying you and leading and guiding you and saying, step here, because if you step there, you're going to fall. My yoke is easy. Let's not resist our Father in heaven. Let's not resist the friend of sinners, Jesus, because He's carrying it for us. God wants to lead you and I. Will we follow? He's speaking to us. So as we land this plane, as we finish off today, I just want to give us a couple of moments to respond, because every time we hear the word, and it's just going to go in one ear and go out the other unless we respond. So why don't we all just close our eyes? You want to bow your heads, feel free to do so. Switch off your devices. And let's just focus in on God for a second. If you are willing and ready to be led by God and to pray that prayer, lead me. I want you to pray this prayer with me in your heart. You don't have to stand or whatever. Just pray this prayer in your heart. And here's how the prayer goes. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there's any grievous way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Eyes still closed. If you prayed that prayer, would you gently slip your hand up? And just keep the hand there. Because it's a powerful thing when you physically do something that represents what's going on in your heart that helps you. So let me pray for those hands around this place. Dear Lord, we come to you. You see our hands, and that's representing that we are willing to yoke with you. We're willing to be tied in with you. And we say, Lord, lead me. We will pay attention. We will be willing to take those steps that may be uncomfortable. Thank you for the grace and the power and the faith to do so. In Jesus' name, amen. Eyes still closed. I just want to speak to a group of people. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, or maybe you once walked with Jesus and you're no longer following God and you find yourself sitting here in this church today and you know deep in your heart that your life is going in the wrong direction. You see, the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. That means all of us. Nobody is good enough. There's no one righteous. But this is why Jesus came to this earth. He became a human being and he lived the life that you and I should have lived, a perfect one. And he died a death that you and I should have died in our place, because it says the penalty for sin is death. And you know, it's been paid for. It's paid in full. And Jesus died for all sin, past, present, and future. But you see, the requirement is he's not going to force it on you. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. If you're burdened by trying to do good things to earn favor with God, if you've been in a religious situation all your life trying to please an angry God, Jesus is saying, no, I will give you rest. If that is you today and you want to come back to Jesus, or you want to learn how to follow Jesus for the very first time, I'm going to give you a few seconds to think about that. And I want to invite you to do something really brave and put your hand up, because we would love to be able to speak with you and encourage you and show you how to follow this amazing God.